That's amazing. I think when you really meet Jesus, I think that's your greatest desire, is to have your life sing glory to Him. That's my greatest desire. I just want to make Jesus look good. I want the whole world to see Him and the whole world to hear Him. And that's in a sense what these 3 weeks are about. Sing with an exclamation mark. But singing is so much more, worshiping is so much more than a song. I've got good news for you. You are a worshiper. Did you know that? Can you say that? I am a worshiper. You see, we all are worshipers. And you would find sometimes that the most extravagant worship happens outside of the boundaries of church. Have you ever noticed? Loud singing, dancing, hands clapping, shouting, bit of war paint sometimes as well. Just go to any rugby stadium, any place, any soccer stadium. I mean, we are designed to worship something, to exalt something, to give our lives to something. We are designed to praise greatness. Have you noticed? You made for it. We were made to see a great display of whatever it may be, music, dancing, sport, academics, and then something on the inside of us wants to jump up and clap hands and say, well done, wow, that is so special, that is so amazing, because we have been designed to worship. The question is just, is God getting the highest worship? I don't think God has an issue with us enjoying sports or culture or anything like that. I think God wants us to enjoy life and enjoy nature. But the ultimate worship, ultimate praise is when we start praising Him for what He has done for us. That is what brings the ultimate joy. Because I'm sure most of South Africa sinned last night. It's good for me to say that one of the leaders in the church confessed last week Sunday of almost Saturday with the rugby losing it a little bit. And so I SMS'd him and said, how did it go yesterday evening? We lost against Scotland. And he said, well, hy het nou nie weer dit gedoen nie. Maar iets binne hom het dood gegaan. I think it's great. Because you're in there, you're enjoying it, and you're saying, come on, Bokke. And then they disappoint you, which is terrible. But so we've been speaking these 3 weeks about entering into His gates, coming into God's presence. And it's sad for me sometimes when I speak to people, people who sincerely love God and want to serve God, but there's this terrible thing in churchianity called dead religion or dry religion. It's when you and I go through the motions, we sing our songs, we pray our prayers, but God's presence isn't there. You see, that's dead religion. That's dry religion. And sometimes I speak to people and they tell me, oh, they're so excited. They in their church, they're going to get a band. And that's going to bring life. I tell you, a band does not bring life. The Holy Spirit brings life. The presence of God brings life. And if you've been in this business a while, if you've been in the church world for a while, then you realize, God, if you're not here, it's really frustrating. It's really dry. Everything looks good. It's a lacquer band. It's everything the same. We're doing the same. We're even lifting our hands. God, this is extravagant. But God, where are you? I enjoyed this morning. I felt the presence of God. But that's what we live for. That's what we, a church without the presence of God is not a church. And so for us, we're setting this as a goal for ourselves. We're saying, God, we want your presence. When we come here, we don't want to sing about you. We want to sing to you because you're here. We're not just talking about you. You are actually here in our midst. So the most extravagant forms of worship sometimes outside of church. You and I, we are designed to worship. We are made to worship. But the question is, what are we worshiping? And is God getting the ultimate worship? Is he our ultimate prize, our ultimate joy? I would say some of the best times of my life have been in times of worship, when I'm in his presence. That's the ultimate. And that's what we want. That's the goal we're setting for ourselves as a church. So where does God want to be? Any ideas? The scripture says, 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But you'd say, but God is everywhere, isn't he? Yes, he is. But he's not manifestly everywhere. He's not tangibly everywhere. And so we are setting ourselves aside. That's why we pray on Monday evenings. We're just saying, God, we so yearn for you. We so yearn for your presence here. But it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, God is drawn to certain places in the world. God, his presence, his Spirit is drawn. Like he just wants to be some places. Let me ask you a question. If you go somewhere to somebody's house and they sort of just ignore you, do you want to go back? Or maybe you just treat it maybe with a bit of disdain, or no, you don't want to go there. But if you walk into a house and somebody celebrates you, they're like, whoa, it's so special to have you here. You are wonderful. You are special. You are, I often do this with Jonathan, and then he gets really uncomfortable. No, Jonathan, you're not like the other people in church. You are really special. Now he's very uncomfortable, but he's leaving. So this is my last chance to make him uncomfortable before he leaves for Cape Town. So Jonathan, you are really, really special. That's what Jonathan enjoys church. But it's with all of us like it. We want to go somewhere where we celebrate it. Waar iemand jou vier, waar iemand sê, yes, yay, is so lekker om vir jou hier te. And it's the same with God. God is drawn, his Spirit is drawn to a place where he's celebrated. But celebration is more than a song, it's something in the heart. Worship is more than a song, it's something in the heart. It must flow from within, where we value our God. And we say, God, you are so welcome. That's my mission in life. I'm just saying, God, you are so welcome in our home, in the church, everywhere. Okay, so what is true praise? Psalm 100. Verses 1 to 5, and we've been sharing a little bit about this scripture the last few weeks. Sonic has shared about Thanksgiving last week, and the previous week I just gave a little bit of an introduction. But it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, for the Lord is good. Oh, how he loves us. And then God says, if you want to come into my presence, if you want to meet with me, my goodness, my love, come with singing, but just not any type of singing. It's like worship from the heart, praise, your whole being from the heart flowing to him. So what is praise about? Praise is about the presence of God. Praise is about the presence of God. It creates an environment where God says, I'm coming. I'm coming. And you can do that in church. You can do that at home. You can do that at work. You can praise Him. It's not even just song. It's just acknowledging Him for who He is. Know that the Lord, He is God. So it's not just any type of singing. It's not just come with a nice song. It says there, know that the Lord is God. In other words, you need to praise with understanding. You need to praise with an understanding of how big He is, how great He is, how awesome He is. Often see this in sport. You might get some ladies, they're not very excited about rugby, which is okay. But then the wife would maybe say something like, I can't understand this. These big guys, hairy guys running around the ball, after a ball. It's like silly. It's like stupid. And then the husband's saying, Liffy, jy verstaan nie. You don't understand how strong they are, how skillful they are. You don't know, if you haven't played, you don't know what goes into that. The bonding in the scrum, it's amazing. It's male bonding at its best. I mean, that's where life happens for men, okay? So she doesn't understand, but the man understands. He's in that. He knows the intricacies. He knows that that type of pass is wow. That's like a wow pass. I mean, that's not a normal pass. That's like skillful. And so when they do something, they score a try, you praise, you say, wow, that's amazing. Because you understand this is big. And maybe some others, like my stepmom, she's a big gardener. I'm not a big gardener, so I don't get very excited about plants. It's like, okay, go. That's why I enjoy sport. It's like, go, yes, it's plants, go. Doesn't work. Okay, but so it's a little bit slow for me. But my stepmom, she's a brilliant gardener. So she is, I mean, if you would drive past their home, you might just say, oh, it's a nice garden. But you don't want to have a clue how much goes into that. I mean, she's every day in that garden for hours and hours, every little leaf has been snipped like this, and it's perfect. It's like amazing. But for another gardener, they would walk in there, they would say, wow, this is amazing. Because that person has understanding of the greatness of what's happening right here. And so unfortunately, many of us come, we come to church and we sing these songs and we say, our God reigns. But we don't have a clue. And it's not our fault. It's just we haven't experienced the greatness of God. We don't understand. And so it's a nice song, but for some of us, it is so much more. It's like, oh, how He loves me. You've revelation of His love. So when you sing, you know it intimately. It's wow. It's special. But it says, enter into His gates, enter with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. When you realize who He is and you start praising Him for who He is, it's like His presence comes. And that's what we want. That's what we should long for. You see, praise is our natural response to greatness revealed. Praise is our natural response to greatness revealed. I remember I was in a mall, Tiger Valley in Cape Town. And one of my days that my seasons of trying to keep my love for rugby under control. So I just didn't look at when they are playing. And I went to the mall and my wife and I were walking around and she was looking stuff. So I just walked this way, going for a nice stroll. And I walked into this big area with big screens and hundreds and hundreds of people packing out the place. And then I saw the Booker against the All Blacks in New Zealand, and we've never beaten them on this specific field. And everybody was standing there, and so I was just in it. Couldn't help myself. I was just there. My wife lost me, and I was just there. I didn't hear my phone. I was just there. God is so good to me. And so, so I was standing there. And we were behind. It was the last few minutes of the game. And we've never won there. And then Ricky January, some of you will know, took a gap, kicked it over the guys, picked it up, and he scored. And the crowd went wild. It was amazing. It was the energy in the place. It was like suddenly hundreds and hundreds of people were going wild. People not knowing one another, high-fiving and hugging and loving one another. This, we've won. This is awesome. What's so amazing is you didn't need somebody to a choreographer for this whole game thing. It's not like, okay, applause. Okay, shout. Now's your time to shout. It's like everybody has won. Just celebrated this great achievement. And we were down and out. I mean, we were not, I mean, it didn't look good. But we won. And there was this amazing praise happening right there. Now I'm just thinking. Now imagine, let's go back 2,000 years. And we have a scenario. Jesus, the Messiah, walking around in the Israel, in Judea, in Galilee. And then his disciples walking with him. And they're so excited because he is the Messiah. He is the one. He is the one they've been waiting for centuries and centuries. And he does these awesome miracles. And then suddenly things start to turn against him. Suddenly the Pharisees try to kill him. They're trying to catch him. And they're trying to take him out. And then they're attacking him over and over. And so the tide has turned. All the crowds were then. Suddenly the crowds weren't there anymore. And they were sort of hiding away in different parts of the countryside. And then the big day comes. They have communion, the final meal. And that evening, Jesus goes to Gethsemane into the garden. I can just imagine what was going through the disciples' minds and hearts, wondering, guys, what's going on? This is not supposed to be like this. This is supposed to, this is the Messiah. What's going on? And so Jesus is over there on the side and he's praying and blood drops falling from him and he's crying out to God, crying out to the Father, and all these guys are wondering what's going on. And then I can just imagine the angels of God standing there, the angels from heaven standing there wondering, will he be able to do it? Will Jesus be able to do it? Will he be able to take all the sins of the world upon himself? I mean, humanity's in darkness, in sin. It is a mess. It is worse than the All Blacks on our try line. We're against the wall. I mean, this is like scary bad. And so everybody's thinking, the angel's thinking, can Jesus do this? Can he take all the sins of the world upon his shoulders? And so he goes through Gethsemane. The soldiers come and they grab him, take him to the cross, and he's brutally first beaten and then crucified and he dies. Just imagine what we're going through the minds of those disciples. They had all this hope, that all this expectation. They were thinking this is the Messiah and he's dead, and now they're hiding away and they're afraid and they are terrified. It's over. Game over. And then on the third day, an earthquake. And Jesus walks from the grave alive. Dramatic effects. He was dead. And now he is alive, and these disciples, their whole world is turned around. And it says that they start worshiping Jesus as God, the Son of God. Because they realized this is greatness. They were there. They knew it was down and out, game over. There is no way. There was the few of them against all of the religious leaders of Israel and the Roman authorities. And then he rose from the grave and he won. And it's beautiful, that video. I was once, I was lost, now I am found. I was blind, now I see. I really feel as if I was blind before I came to Christ. I didn't see. I was blind. And often I speak to people and they're far from God. I'm saying, but you want to get angry, but you can't. They're just blind. They're not seeing it. If you were a blind man, Jesus touches you and you see. Would you praise him? Yes, you would. If you were in the grave like Lazarus and you were brought to life, would you praise him? Absolutely. If you today are a Christian, then you were dead, but now you are alive. Your spirit has been made alive. It is better than the greatest victory the world has ever seen. Jesus has won. And so we can praise him like there are no words. Thankful hearts, excitement, joy. Our God reigns. Now look at this scripture. This is the natural response. When you see greatness, you will not be able to contain yourself. You will have to praise. Psalm 47. It says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph." Shout to God with the voice of triumph. How does that work? Because the fact is, can I give you the fact? Facts of the matter is as follows. It doesn't look as if we're winning. If we look at the world and the mess this world is in, it doesn't look as if God is winning, is it? But that's just the fact. The truth is he has already won. And when we voice of triumph is when we exalt truth over the facts. And then you see the truth becoming a reality. You're down and out, wherever it may be in your life. It doesn't look good. You are losing. Your back is against the wall. Lift the voice of triumph. Lift the victory of Christ. Lift it up. My God has already won. My God has already provided. My God has already, I'm sick. Yes, that's the facts. I don't deny it. I am sick. But my God says in his word, he's already provided for my healing. Lift the voice of triumph. Lift the voice of triumph over your workplace, over your family, over your relationships. Lift the voice of triumph. Declare the truth. And the truth will manifest. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is, can you say that? Awesome. Awesome. I think we know, we use the words awesome with everything. Oh, this ice cream, it's awesome. Okay, we're not talking about that type of awesome here. We're talking about real awesome. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who created the stars of the sky. Millions and millions of galaxies. Billions and billions of stars. Every tree out there, the grass, even you. He designed you. He put you together. He is awesome. He is awesome. If you get a revelation, you're gonna praise him. He is a great king over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout. It's beautiful there. The history in the book of Judges and Joshua, which speaks about Jericho. When the Israelites went into Israel, into Canaan to take the land, they were walking around Jericho for 7 days. And the seventh day, Joshua said to them, "Shout, for God has given you the city." Did it look like that? It didn't look like that. But when they shouted, the walls came down and they took the city for God. You see, God has gone up with a shout. And maybe In certain circles, it's not very Christian, maybe, to shout. But God goes up with a shout. That's what the Bible says. When you don't only worship Him in your heart, but your whole being, you can't contain yourself. You say, "You are awesome, God. You are worthy, God. Our God reigns. Our God reigns." Doesn't feel yet like that, but He does. He reigns. And we're seeing glimpses of Him changing lives. And we're still saying, "God, our God reigns." We're going to see that. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises for God. For why? Why sing praises? For God is awesome. Trust God for revelation of His greatness. Trust God to see then. Sing praises with understanding. You will not be able to contain yourself. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. You need to praise Him with understanding. You say, "God, I want to see You with the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to hear You. God, I want to worship You." The greater, I almost finished, the greater our understanding, the more meaningful our praise. The greater your understanding of who God is, the more meaningful. So if you come to church or you worship and you say, "I'm not there," that's fine. Just acknowledge, "I don't understand yet, but I want to. I want to understand." Because, guys, if you can get excited at the rugby field, don't tell me you cannot get excited about Jesus. That's the fact. We are designed to worship with a whole being. Some people even put horns on their heads. That's almost, you know, like the Satanists do, you know. So it's like really shaky. Okay. Sorry. It's a joke. But it's really weird, don't you think, to put horns upon your head. And then you hung this stuff on your bucky at the back. That's very weird. Oh, whoa, where am I? I'm back. Okay. Shoo. Oh, the billet after the sound desk. Thank you, Dion. Just reminding me again. So what I was trying to say there, I was trying to say that when you are into something, it doesn't necessarily make sense. You know, but say you could come into a church and you might say, "Oh, why are the guys lifting their hands? And they're so into it and so excited." And you think, "This is weird." But go to a blow ball game and it's also weird, you know. So it's also interesting. Lost Iconopi. Okay. So house of glory. We want to be a house of glory. We want to be a place where God wants to be, where God is welcome. And so true praise, truly praising God for who He is, transforms a church into a house of glory. I've seen this. I've seen it when there are a relatively large group of people and they're all into it, into God. It's like the presence just wants to be there. A house of glory. Heaven come to earth. That's what we want. Heaven come to earth. That's what we pray. Say, "God, let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what is a house of glory? A house of glory, very shortly. Number one, God is in our midst. And praise with our whole hearts is key. Secondly, when the kingdom comes, that is when the King comes. When God comes, then the kingdom comes. When Jesus steps into an area, into an environment, if Jesus steps in, then you see Him as salvation, as Savior, as deliverer, as healer. When the kingdom comes because the King comes. As I said, God has gone up with a shout. And then thirdly, Christ's victory manifests here and now. Christ's victory manifest here and now. The victory of the cross becoming available to us right here, right now. As I said, the fact is, it doesn't look as if we're winning. The truth is, our God has already won. And let's ask God, Lord, reveal. You see, as I said, praise is our natural response to greatness. Praise is our natural response to greatness. And so we must say, God, show us your greatness. Give me a revelation, Lord, in my heart, that I may be astounded at your awesomeness. Let's stand. Let's praise God from the heart. Let's make this church, make our lives a place where God wants to be. Where he wants to be. Where he is celebrated. God, we bring our hearts before you. Truly, God, who is there like you? Who is there like you? Who is there like you, Lord? The ultimate victory you have won on the cross. You've overcome sin. You've overcome every evil. You've overcome every sickness, every disease. You've overcome despair. You've overcome hopelessness. You have overcome. And you make all of that available to us right now. God, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts.